Great.
So is it on the?
I didn't post. Yeah, I'm gonna get it posted. Okay. All right. Acharemos kedoshim. So let's get
double parsha.
So let's get right down to business. Let's start in source number one. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe acharei Moshe b'nei Aaron, v'kavar sam lifnei Hashem v'yamusu. So Hashem spoke to Moshe after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they came close to Hashem and they died. Okay. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. Now Hashem said to Moshe, "Daber al Aaron, talk to Aaron, achicha, your brother." And he shouldn't come just any time to the Kodesh from Mibes La Parochas. Let's see what that means exactly. They translate it as within the veil before the covering. So what is this space, this holy place that's inside the veil, the paroches, right? What is that space called? We call that something else. What do we call that? The space inside. So if you go into the Beis HaMikdash.
Holy of Holies.
Oh, good. So you go into the Beis HaMikdash. If you walk inside, you're in the Kodesh. That's like the menorah and the shulchan. It's all already that space. But if you go even further in, there's this, right? There's this thing called the paroches. It's just like this, you know,
dividing line,
like a, what do you call it? What's the word? Curtain, thank you. A curtain that splits the Kodesh from the Kodesh Kadosh. I mean, when you walk in there, now the Aron is there, and on top of the cart, these words have confused me since I was a child. It's the Paroches is the that curtain, and on top of the Aron is the Kapores. Okay, Kapores, it's the same word, just switch the kaf and the pay. The cover of the Aron, on top of that are the Kruvim, right? Which are there. And so, So what Hashem is telling Aaron, you can't just go in any time. He says Ela Kodesh, he means Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? Into that super holy place, right? To be in front of, right? The Beis LaParoches, inside the Paroches, El Penei HaKapores, right? And to be right in front of that thing that covers the Aaron, right? Asher Al Haron, which is on top of the Aaron, Velo Yamus, so that he shouldn't die. Implication being, if you go just becholeis, if you want to, what will happen? He will die. Okay? And why can't he do that? Ki be'anan e'ra'eh al ha'kapores. Because through a cloud, I am seen on the kapores, on top of the aron. Meaning that Hashem is typically, apparently,
in a cloud
on top of the kapores all the time. So if you just show up and walk into that space, you will be face to face, as it were, with
Hashem,
the presence of Hashem. And that's not going to go well, says Hashem. So you can't just walk in with however you want. That's not going to work. Okay? But rather, bizos yavo Aaron al HaKodesh. So how should Aaron come in? Bizos with
this.
Okay, what's this? Bipar ben bakar lechatas v'ayadolah. With a cow, the son of a bakar, for a chatas, and an ayal, an ayal is a ram for all the offerings. Just
designated just, times.
Ah,
right?
Good. So just to be clear, Aaron's not actually going to walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with a cow, and that's what it sounds like, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's going to walk in with a cow and walk in with a ram. Right. That's not what happens. Okay, he walks in with the blood of those korbanos, right? But it's interesting language. Fine. And then it talks about what does he wear. Ketonas bar kodesh yobash umichnas yivad. He just wears white clothing, and he doesn't wear his fancy. Right? Every Kohen had four basic pieces of clothing, and the Kohen Gadol had extra clothing, right, which all made out of gold, which doesn't wear when he goes into the Kodesh Kodesh, which we'll see in a second.
But doesn't he just wear it on Yom Kippur?
So he wears those things all the time. Uh-huh. But when he goes into the Kodesh Kodashim, he doesn't wear the fancy parts. He doesn't wear his extra Kohen Gadol clothing. He only wears his basic Kohen clothing. Okay, fine. And he has to wash himself, etc. Fine. And what we didn't, I don't want to spend too much time on this piece, but what he actually does bring in there is the Ketores, right? A certain incense that he brings, which has ki ba'anan, right? He comes with his own cloud, actually, which we're going to see in the Sefer Mefarshim. Why is that? Maybe to like sort of like cloud the room, because Hashem's in that room, whatever that means. Through a cloud, you don't want to be face to face with Hashem's cloud, so you're bringing almost like he like walks in, like surrounded by this cloud, so that he is
protected,
whatever you want to call it, sort of protected from the cloud of Hashem. Okay, if that's not esoteric enough for you, then we can get
what
more.
Does the kapara mean?
The kapores.
Yeah.
The kapores is the aron is a square,
yeah.
A square golden box, right? So planes, it's actually a box within a box within a box. There's a gold box inside, surrounded by a wood box, surrounded by another gold box. That's the aron. But on top of that box is this gold-plated top. And on top of that, and on top of it are these two kruvim, these two like angelic figures, which is also very confusing. Like, that sounds a lot like a Avodah Zarah. How do we do that? It's a different conversation. Right? How do we, like, so bizarre, right? Like, we want to get away from Zarah. Yeah, we create these, they look like children. They face each other in miracles. They face away from each other when Hashem's upset, whatever. But the point is that that's what's on top of the kapara. That's the kapara. It's the cover of the...
Have anything to do with the word kapara?
It probably does. If you think about it, that's a good question. Kapara means atonement. And it's called the kapores. It probably does have something to do with kapara. It certainly has the same sharesh. That's the place where you go.
Try to make sense.
Well, it's also the place where you go to achieve kapara.
Yeah.
You go only on Yom Kippur into that space to get kapara. And what do you face? You face the kapores. Yeah, it does seem very related. Good. Okay. All of this is wonderful information, right? This is the conversation about how we know what is... you know, how Aaron can go into the base, the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Mishkan and later in the base of Mikdash. Obviously, it won't be Aaron, it will be some other Kohen Gadol. But this is basically the introduction to the Avodah of Yom Kippur, right? How Aaron and Kohen will go into the, and that becomes a lot more of the conversation in your Parashat Acharimos, is the conversation about how the Kohen Gadol would conduct the Yom Kippur service, which he did all by himself. Okay? Mm-hmm. He would shech the animal, take the blood, sprinkle the blood, all the different things he would do. Wonderful, and it culminates in a certain sense with his entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Great. Which he did actually two times, I think, in the process. Great. And we're given an introduction to this. And what's the introduction?
It's after Nazimini died, which happened like a couple parshiot ago.
Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe acharei Moshe shnei b'nei Aaron b'karvasam b'nei Hashem v'yamuzu. Hashem spoke to Moshe after the death of the two sons of Aaron because they came close to Hashem and they died. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, and then Hashem says to Moshe, "Daber al Aaron." Ask me another question. Hashem spoke to Moshe after Aaron's children died, and then the Torah says, "And Hashem spoke to Moshe."
Wouldn't it be a good opportunity for Hashem to talk directly to Aaron?
Okay, good. Maybe Hashem should speak directly to Aaron. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Why is it repetitive?
What do you say in the first line?
Just that he spoke to Moshe,
yeah,
Moshe,
and then he speaks to Moshe to speak to Aaron. What happened in the first conversation? Was there a first conversation? What does that even mean? Why are you telling me that he spoke twice? Hashem spoke to Moshe. When? This time. And Hashem spoke to Moshe. Okay, so you could say you're just setting the stage of the timing. That's fine. You can say that. Fine. But it's a little funny.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, why is it's not like this parsha comes, that was Shemini. Parsha Shemini, Vayibi Yom HaShemini, three parshas ago, that's when Nadav and Avihu die.
And it wasn't even like at the end of Shemini.
We're at the beginning of Shemini. We've had Shemini, we had Tazria, Mitzora, plenty of other conversations that have gone on, you know, Bris Mila, having a baby, Tzaras in the house, in your body, and then it's like, okay, now let's talk about Yom Kippur. Okay, fine. You want to talk about Yom Kippur now and explain how that goes? This is Sefer Vayikra, that's where we talk about Korbanos.
Mm-hmm.
But this was on the day after by the way, I didn't know the day after. Acharei Mos. When's Acharei? I don't even know.
I don't know.
How long after? Okay?
That's not so important.
We're not told how many days after. It's a very strange introduction.
Revealed.
What?
It hasn't been revealed how much time after.
Mm-hmm. That's a very religious answer. Thank you. Yes, correct. It has not been revealed to us yet how much time it was gone. That's kind of an interesting introduction. Okay, but give me, think about it a little bit.
This is the day after.
The day after, Acharei Mos. The day after, but I don't think
it's not.
There's a discussion in the Rishonim by Hi Achar Hadvarim Ha'ila, as opposed to Achare. I think that Achare is usually relatively soon after, and by Hi Achar Hadvarim Ha'ila is like much later, right? Like then Hashem, you know, that's when Achashverosh, you know, elects Haman, you know, etc. But
it's chapter 3 instead of chapter 2.
Okay, but it's quite in terms of where it is in the Torah. It's quite a while, right? It's a number of prakim later. But tell me an answer. You probably think of an answer. One answer: why would we have this story or this halacha about how Aaron is allowed to go into the Kodesh Kedoshim? And tell me that that's taught in some way, Achare Moshe Bnei Aaron.
I mean, I feel like it
would
be
you was afraid.
Right.
Why would he be afraid?
His sons were killed.
Ah, right. So we, if we tell the story of how they died.
It's also framing. Like, I was curious about why it says, Bikar Batam Lifnei Hashem V'Amutu. Like, it's making it seem like the reason they died was because they composed Hashem. And in Shemini, we definitely get a lot more detail than that.
Good.
So I feel like we're framing it as, like, to your point, like, that makes sense, right? If we're framing it like they were killed because they came close to Hashem, these are giving laws for how you can approach, how the Kohen Gadol, Aharon, the only person, is allowed to come close to.
Good. I just wanted to look at the psukim here. I didn't bring them for you. But, right, we're told in the Torah about that story, is the Torah says, Vayichu b'nei Aaron Nadav ve'aviyu ish machta. So they each took their fire pans. A fire pan was always used for ketores, right? By the way, which is the same thing that Aaron's going to use when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's the same exact item he's going to bring. It's the same item that the people, Korach and his merry men, use when they try to... I always call them that. I don't know why. But they always, when they come to... I don't know why they're telling me. It doesn't say that in the Torah. Right. But you know what I'm saying. Korach and his chevra, they use when they all want to become the Kohen Gadol. Right, they bring also ish machtaso. They each bring a fire pan. That's how Ketores is always... Right, that's what the Kohen Gadol uses, this fire pan, always. Okay, fine. So they took it. But you do behen ish, they placed a fire in it, whatever that means exactly. They put incense in there. And they brought it in front of Hashem. Again, we don't know what it means in front of Hashem, but very many Mefarshim explain that Lifnei Hashem means in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? Eish zara asher lo tziva osam. They brought a fire on fire that Hashem had not commanded them. Okay? And what happens, vatecha eish mi lifnei Hashem, that fire comes out from Hashem, vatochel osam, and it devours them, vayamusu lifnei Hashem. And they die in front of Hashem again. And the presumption being that they're killed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? Vayomer Moshe al Aaron, who asher diber Hashem v'lomer, fine, but Moshe tells Aaron, you know, that they were very close to him, etc. But then vayikra Moshe al Mishev al Tzafan b'nei Uziyah dor Aaron, he asks two of the cousins, vayomer lehem kirvu se'u esachichem me'es p'nei HaKodesh el michutz ha'machane, he tells them to take the bodies out of this holy place, which presumably, because other people can't go there, right? So presumably they were in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So if you want to, like, if that's the story, right? And we're told that they brought Eish, you know, Eish Zarah Shelo Tziva Osam. They brought some fire that Hashem could not command them. Fine. But if that's the story, and that's how they died, so now, fast forward, Hashem comes to Moshe, Acharei Moshe Bnei Aaron. Does it mean that the conversation necessarily happened the day after? Maybe yes, maybe no. But what's the point? What's the reference point now?
It should have been a learning experience.
Yeah. Right, so it sounds like there's something Aaron's sons had an experience, a negative one, certainly, right? And now Aaron's going to be commanded to go into that place. And so Hashem says, you know, these are going to be the rules of how you go into that place, okay? So if that's the case, now I maybe understand, meaning everyone's thinking about what happened then. I can't now have a conversation about the Avodah and Yom Kippurim, the one time when a person, a Kohen Gadol, is allowed to go in there without referencing maybe what's happened before.
Well, also Aaron had all these hang-ups about the Egel Hazahav, you know, and things like that. So he had a lot of, you know, Freud would have called him.
Aaron was, we'll call Aaron very sensitive, right? I mean that in the right way, right? We find that, some of us find that sensitive people, oftentimes they, everyone different types of makeups, you know, emotional makeup, right? Some people can get past things very quickly. They just kind of like let things roll off their shoulders. And other people, like, They have a harder time. They don't have as thick skin, and things kind of hang out with them for a while, right? And we know that I think we were referencing today, right, is that we talked before that Aaron had a hard time coming to bring, even on the first day when his job was to bring that korban to start being the Kohen Gadol. We saw that Moshe has to, you know, bring him close because he felt embarrassed about what he had done with the Chet Egel. So if Aaron kind of like had like an emotionally hard time with his own mistake, so maybe it's reasonable to assume this was going to be emotionally challenging for him also. Very good. Excellent. Yeah, good. So we can start to understand maybe a little bit why this intro makes a lot of sense, actually, to this conversation, because this is the thing that Aaron's facing in this moment. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Good. So let's see what some of the Mefarshim say about this point. Take a look at Rashi in source number 2. I brought you a few pieces of Rashi, but we'll see. Rashi says the following. What does this come to teach us, says Rashi? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah moshlo mashal. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said there's a parable here. What's the mashal? L'chola shenichnas eitzal rofe. Shouldn't be above there. A sick person comes in to a doctor. Amar lo. Al tochal tzonein va'al tishkav
Take precautions.
Yeah, but what does that mean? It's a yeah, I don't know what it means. Exactly. But the bottom line is, he gives him certain instructions. Don't do this, don't eat that. Fine. Ba'acher va'amelo, al tochot tzonin va'al tishka betachav shelo tamus, kederech shemeis ponin. Your doctor says, you know, you should eat less red meat. It's not good for your colon. It's not good for your heart. And you're like, okay, doc, thanks a lot, but I like having barbecues. Another guy shows up and says, you know what, maybe you shouldn't eat red meat because I had a heart attack last week, right? And I had a lot of red meat in my diet, and I'm going to stop now because, right? Or another person says, or he goes to a chalila, goes to a funeral of a person who had a heart condition and didn't take care of it, right? There's going to be a very different response in that experience than he does to the doctor who says, you know, maybe not a good idea, right? Ze zarzo yosei amin arishon. One experience gives you a little more, you know, a reason, urgency than the first one. You want to know how serious it is, Aaron? These rules? Well, you know how serious they are, right? And so, says Rashi, we are referencing that story because the point is it's supposed to be a reminder, right? As Aaron is coming to make these decisions and decide how he's going to treat the Kodesh Kodashim. And by the way, any person, any Kohen Gadol for the rest of eternity is going to reference this space in a different way. And by the way, for sure, if you think about ourselves, it for sure colors the way we all think about the Kodesh Kodashim, right? To this very day, right? There's a big, you know, it's a big controversy. Can a person, forget political controversy, there's a halachic controversy, whether a person is allowed to go on the Temple Mount, right? To go on the Har Bayis to this very day. And I, for sure, right? Anyone who's knowledgeable in the halacha, right? And even, you know, knowledgeable even in Tanakh, right? Says to themselves, like, even if they're going to be willing to go or not go, it's a controversy, hey, do it. But even if you go, right? And they have these very specific ways you can walk, one of the main reasons you are worried to step in the wrong place? If you're even not a Talmud Chacham, you're just a person who knows some things about Yiddishkeit.
Somebody got you don't want Hashem to kill you.
Because you don't want to step where?
In the Kodesh
HaKadoshim. I don't want to step in that place, Chalila. I know what happens in that place. I live in a view. Little children know that story, right? The Kodesh HaKadoshim is a big no-no. Everybody knows that. Right? There's like no question, right? That's like something we like, it's become like part of a culture. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is like, yikes. And why is it yikes? It's yikes because of not living in a view. And that's why it becomes to have that story. So any future Kohen Gadol is like, holy cow, I don't want to have anything to do with this place unless I do exactly what I'm supposed to do. Yeah.
So I think having in mind, like, the Torah is not going to waste words.
Yes.
Like, you think Aaron could forget for one second that half of his children were murdered?
Correct.
Not murdered. Were
put to death by Hashem.
Because of this? Like,
yes. No, he will not.
He doesn't need this reminder.
Good. So who does?
Yes, I was thinking.
Yeah. So good. Yeah, so who needs it?
Everyone. Any other Kohanim, but they're not going in there.
Yeah. No, but every Kohen Gadol for the rest of history needs to learn this stamp. I think you're right. I don't think Aaron Cohen needed any reminder. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And we're going to talk about that as we move along. I don't think he needs a reminder. But and every time he uses the word Aaron, it's Aaron. Yes, but it's Aaron. But it's not Aaron. It's the Kohen Gadol. Right? The language of Aaron in this whole story is Aaron and every few. He's the first Kohen Gadol, but every Aaron who even if they're not named Aaron, that's okay. Like who will continue? My Aaron is not a Kohen, so it's stuck with you know whatever. But like right, but every Kohen Gadol for the future will have the same role. So I agree with you. I don't think it's to remind Aaron a Kohen.
Yeah.
He doesn't need it. And we're going to talk about maybe why it is there for him. But yes, correct. Good. So that's one point that Rashi makes. Good. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe daber al Aaron achicha vayavo. Right? Why not? Shliyamus kaderech shemesu banav. Right? So the point being, he's being given this story. Right? Why is it? And another look at the next line. Ki banan e'ra'eh. This is a place where Hashem comes in a cloud. Ki tamid ani nir esham imamud anani. I'm always there with my cloud. With a fisha galoi shchinati sham. And since the revelation of my presence is in that place, Yizaher Shaloya Gilavo, it should not become a normal place for a person to go to. Zeu Pshuto. Umidrasho, Loyavo ki in ba'anan hakatores, beyom kippurim, right? So that's the ki ba'anan era'e. One is that Hashem saying, I'm always there. I'm always in the anan. Or the answer is, no, because the only way you will be able to see me is ba'anan, if you come in holding the katoris, which is exactly what the Kohen Gadol does. He walks in holding this, he like, right, he pours water on the thing, and it makes this huge cloud, and he walks in with the cloud. Ki ba'anan area al kaporos. It's very beautiful. That's like right, it's a double understanding of that phrase. Okay? Okay. Good. Fine. Okay. Let's go. Just the last piece where it says Dalid there, still in the second source. Ketonas bad kodesh. You see that? It's on the next page, maybe. Next page.
Yeah.
Oh, the gematria. Sorry. Okay. Sorry.
I've never heard you talk about
gematria. I don't do it a lot, but every once in a while. Okay, we'll go back to the gematria. Gimel, bizos. Sorry, it's fine. I brought it on the sheet. Okay. Bizos gematria shalom arba meos ve'eser. Bizos is 410. Rem is the Bais Yisha. Bezos, Yavor, he's going to go in for 410 years. I mean, the Kohen Gadol was going. Okay, cool. Good. Okay, the next piece within the Rashi, Ketonas Bad. Why is he going in his white clothing only? Magid She'enu Meshamesh Lefnim B'Shemona Begadim. He doesn't wear 8 pieces of clothing, which the Kohen Gadol had 4 more than the regular Kohen. Shu Meshamesh Behem Bachutz, which he uses outside in the Kodesh. She'esh Behem Zahav, because they have gold on them. Lefi She'en Kategor Nase Sanegor. This is I brought a few because it's just like a. This is like a. What do they call it? Like a idea that Jewish people should know, right? What do you know? That you don't go into the Kodesh Kodashim with gold on because the prosecutor should not become the defense attorney. Meaning you shouldn't. The gold was the reference is what? Egel Azav. So he doesn't wear gold when he goes into the Kodesh Kodashim. So everyone, so we won't give an answer, but everyone asks the Kasha if that's true. So how can they use a? You can use a. The horn of an egel as a shofar in Rosh Hashanah. How does that work? Okay, fine. But I'm not going to talk about it now. But the bottom line is he goes in only in the white clothes. Fine. Good. That's Rosh. Take a look now at the Rashbam. Says Rashbam in source number 3, Acharei Mos, Hisir es Aaron Shliyamus Kibanav Abiyas Mikdash Shalokadas. Right? This is Rashbam giving us the simple basic, of course. What's he doing here? He's saying he shouldn't meet the same end that his children met. Why? Ki ba'anan e'ra'el ha'kaporos, because in the cloud I'm on the kaporos. Lefi pshuto sharei mitoch amud ha'anan ani nir'eh kol sha'al ha'kaporos. Same thing, that Hashem is always in that cloud. Kedichsev dibarti itach me'al ha'kaporos m'bein shnei ha'kedivrim. When it talks about Hashem speaking to Moshe, where does the dibur of Hashem come from? It always comes out of that space. Right? Nevuah always comes to Moshe from between the kruvim, which by the way is fascinating because we are told that when we daven every day, where do we face? So we face
East,
but that's just because we live east. We live to the west of Israel, right? If you lived in Saudi Arabia, or whatever, you'd face the other way, right?
West.
But and if you live in Israel, you don't face east.
You face
whatever direction you are from, compared to Yerushalayim, right? So if you live in the north, you face south. If you live in the south, you face north. But you don't face east in Israel. You face wherever Yerushalayim is. And if in Yerushalayim, where do you face?
Towards
the Makom HaMikdash. And if you're in the Makom HaMikdash, or you're on the Harabais, which way do you face? I'm not advocating that. You face the Kodesh Kodashim. Why? Because all tefillos, and if you're in the Beis Hamikdash itself, you face the Kodesh Kodashim, because all tefillos would go between the Kruvim and up to Shemayim. Okay, that's the place where the Nevuah of Hashem comes through to us. and it's the place where our tefillos go back to Hashem. It's very interesting. It's the same pipeline, whatever that means. That's what we're told. Okay? Interesting. Okay. Fine. But Lefikach, he says, Kishikanes b'yom ha-kipurim tzivahu ha-kadosh baruch hu lahatir ketores bifnim techila. Right? First, before you'd go in, you'd have to actually put the ketores inside first. Lahachshich es habayis ba'anan. To make it dark with a cloud. And then he'd do the other stuff he'd do inside there. I just wanted to see that inside. That's what exactly what he says, right? But fine. Okay.
Cool. We know Nadav and Avihu did do.
And they, none of you did they were, that. They really did. But the problem was they weren't commanded. They weren't commanded. So you know, fine. Okay. So I just wanted to show you that like imagery is so cool. I just think it's very cool. But fine. Or Chaim HaKadosh, source number 4. So we have to get to some of our questions. So Or Chaim is bothered by our questions. He writes the following. He has 5 questions. Tzarich Ladas. And why is the Or Chaim called HaKadosh? We call him Or Chaim HaKadosh. It doesn't say HaKadosh. Or Chaim HaKadosh. HaKadosh is always for people who were masters of Kabbalah. So the Zohar HaKadosh. Or Chaim HaKadosh, because he was a Kabbalist also. But he writes the following. Tzarich Ladas. Man Nemar Lo B'Dibur Zoh. What is he telling him with this? What does that mean? So, Beis leize inyan yish yashmenu akasuv hayos dibur ze acharemos mali achar mali kodem. I don't care what's before, what's after. Like, who cares? Beis says the Or Chaim HaKadosh. That's first question is vayedaber Hashem Moshe acharei Moshe ben Aaron. What did he say? Because we have another vayedaber in a second, right afterwards. So vayedaber and vayedaber. Was there something said before that we're not told about? Number 2, who cares when it was said? I mean, obviously we care. The Torah tells us. But his point being, why is that important to tell me? Gimel, lama hutzrach lamar bekar vasam. Why are you telling me what they did? They came close. Im lo dia shemesu bishvil shinis karvul lifnei Hashem. If you tell me they died because they came close, halak far hodia davar. Come on, you already told me that story. You told me what they did. They came close. They brought a ish zara shelo tzivasam. The Torah already told me why they did it, why they were killed. So why are you telling me again? Vayakrivu ish zara visham hu yoter mufarash davar. And there it's actually explained more. And here it says that they came close. It's kind of bizarre, actually, in a certain sense. In the original story, it tells me exactly what they did. They brought an ish zara, shelo tzivata. They brought a fire that wasn't commanded. And now it says they died. Why? Because they came close. And they died. Coming close? Is that bad? Is that bad to come close to Hashem? I thought that's a good thing. And it's very murky what they did. And why bring me a murky description of what they did after you already told me explicitly what they did? Okay. Dalid. Omro vayamusu. Muse again. And they died. Museris. That's extra. Acha shehit chilomar. Achare mos. Bekar vasem. You already told me they died. They died again. They died again.
Okay. We didn't play that out.
Yeah. Hey. Omro vayamusu. Bitosefes vav. Vayamusu. With an extra vav in the, you know, vav yud mem vav. Tough. You didn't need it. You could just had a 3 dots. Okay. So I don't know if we're going to answer all of his questions with this point, but we'll answer some. Now, Chaim HaKadosh writes the following. V'nira, I saw this, I thought this was different than explanations I've heard before. V'nira shekav, but this isn't even the last thing I want to show you, but as usual. V'nira shekavanas akasuv. But it seems that the intention of the text here, hu sheba HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahasir es Moshe. I thought this is a warning to Aaron. As Jess pointed out, I don't think Aaron needs a warning. So this is actually a warning to Moshe. Shelo yachshov b'da'ato. He shouldn't think in his mind. Ki detzad shehu yoter karov l'machu shamayim. But who is the closest to Hashem?
Moshe.
Uvachol beiso shalom akom ne'eman hu. Uvachol beisi ne'eman hu. Moshe is number 1. V'achol likanes el hakodesh panima. Maybe Moshe would think. Moshe hears that conversation that happens mi bein shnei hakruvim and comes to who is that to? That's to Moshe. Moshe stands outside the base. I mean, the Mishkan, and Hashem talks to him from the Kodesh Kedoshim. So what might Moshe think?
That he could go with.
I thought that Hashem would never feel like it. I gave up my whole life for this. I gave up my family for it. And Moshe has a very unique relationship with Hashem. Maybe Moshe would think. Fascinating. Moshe was the anav mikol adam. He was the most humble person. But Hashem says, not so fast, Moshe. V'agam she yitzav Hashem al Aaron. Right? And even though Hashem's going to command Aaron this, lo yischalev yischayev hadavar shegam Moshe bechlal. You might think, oh, if Aaron can do it, right? We're smart Jewish people. We know how to do kav v'chomer, right? If Moshe, if Aaron a Kohen who brought the Eikel Azav and he's number two and his he could go to the Kodesh Kodashim. So I would think, can Moshe Rabbeinu go?
Of course
he can. I never even thought about that. Right? That's a reasonable. Who went on Har Sinai?
Moshe.
Who did not go on Har Sinai? Right. V'hu amro v'yedaber Hashem Moshe perush elav ba mitzvah. Meaning, why does he not tell Aaron? That's what you guys pointed that out. Tell Aaron this. Who's he telling? Tells Moshe to tell Aaron. So we're like, oh, it's like amazing. Like, I don't know, whatever. Hashem could tell Aaron directly. He does that sometimes. Why not? Because Moshe needs to hear it too. Va'amalo samuch lemisas beiz bnei Aaron. Who's he tell it to him? When? Acharei Moshe bnei Aaron. Who are they? Two people who were?
Kohanim.
And not commanded to do this. Right? Dibur zeh bekarva sam lifnei Hashem v'yamusu. Why does it say Bikarva Salm ifni Hashem? They came close and they died. Perish Hagam Hayosam Bnei Aaron. Uputosefis Meruba Hayosam Kurovim ifni Hashem. And they were very close to Hashem, right? What does Moshe tell Aaron after they die? He says, this is what Hashem meant when he said, Bikrovai Ekadesh. The people who are close to me are going to become, meaning they were super close to Hashem. Right? What's Hashem reminding Moshe? I know you're close, Moshe. They were also close and they died. Right?
Is it ever said that it was a punishment?
For them?
For Nadav and Avihu.
I think it's presumed understood. I think it's understood as a punishment.
But it never says that.
I mean, but they're killed. Killed is typically seen as a punishment.
But it might be God taking them close to him.
Yes, you could say it. But in the normal human experience, death is seen as a punishment. I think so. No, not a punishment like when a person dies at the end of their life, they're punished.
It's not like
but
they
like,
have
but like, but yeah, but
it's
I think you're divinely, smitten.
Yeah. A consequence of behavior.
Yeah, you're struck down by God and you die. And one is struck down by God and dies.
You closer to him?
It can still like Eliyahu Navi gets taken up in a fiery chariot. He doesn't die. Even like Chanoch. So what does that mean? So they talk about that. Like Chanoch was taken by Hashem because he was so close to him. But I think that the simple explanation is that this was a mistake that they made. And that's the whole point here. Right? They're killed for one of Chazal's certain understanding. There's certain things that they did that they get killed
but
by.
But it doesn't actually state that it was a mistake. And it doesn't state that they're being punished. There's no sentence that says that. That always bothered me.
Well,
that's why we have
midrashim. Well, let's just read the rest of the line here for a second. Okay, look what he says. Af al pichein, right? Even though they're holy, af al pichein lo chamal lehem. He didn't have rachmanis on them. Vayamusu, and they died. Meaning, halamata shelo yoil hayose adam kokach karov l'Hashem. You could be as close, the closest person in the world to Hashem. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, kedei sheyifrot geder likanes lekodesh pnima. I don't care how close you are, you don't cross the line.
Right. This also helps explain, because like as we're talking this story, I'm wondering, like, Aaron's their father, recognized leader, second in command for all of Israel, and like he was forgiven for Chayta Egel and still has this. Like, that was a similar idea, right? You built an idol to Hashem, you brought a korban that wasn't requested, but it's the pnimiut, I guess, like the proximity and like entering into a place that you're not supposed to be—that's really the distinction.
Yeah, and it's meaning they were very holy. They were going to be the next in command. That's what everyone understood was going to happen. And this all this conversation. And by the way, as we always say, right? There's actually, if you look at the Mefarshim, there's like six or seven different reasons given why they died. They decided they like made a decision. They paskin halachos in front of Moshe Rabbeinu without asking him. They were arrogant. They said, "When are these two old guys going to die already? See if we can take over." Some say that they decided not to be married. Decided not to have families because not they wanted to and couldn't. They decided not to because they saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was so caught up in his family. Aaron was so caught up in his family that it wasn't working. So they said, "We're not." Meaning they had like all these a certain level of gaiva that existed within them. But the point is that we always say this. I mean, there's so many answers to why. What's the usual? What that really mean?
We don't really know why.
But we know what the Torah says. Because something Hashem, they got too close. They did something they weren't supposed to do. Fine. I want to skip Rav Hirsch for right now. It's actually a very nice idea.
The little print at the bottom.
What? The little tiny print at the bottom. I want to skip because I want to share with you a beautiful idea. A beautiful idea shared by the, what?
We always run out of time.
I know. I'm sorry. But maybe I'm bringing too many sources. But I want to share with you an idea from the Kalev HaRebbe. The Kalev HaRebbe was 21. He was taken to Auschwitz and he was experimented on by Dr. Mengele. And he, because of those experiments, he was not able to grow a beard and he was not able to have children because of that. And when he came, but he survived. And when he was like in the camps towards the very end, actually, he heard a child singing Shema Yisrael, and he made a deal with God. And he said, if you let me out, if you save me, I promise you, I will make sure that the children of Klal Yisrael sing Shema Yisrael. And Kachav, he was saved. And he would spend a lot of his time going to schools. He ends up coming to Eretz Yisrael. He builds the Kalev HaChassidus again. Not with his own family, because he couldn't have children. He was married, but he didn't have children. But he builds up that Chassidus again. And he would go around to schools and yeshivas. And he would sing. He would meet with groups of little children. And he would sing with them the Shema Yisrael in the same tune that he heard that child singing Shema Yisrael. He would sing it with children. He was known for this. The Kalev HaRebbe. He was totally again a Chassidish Rebbe with no beard. He had absolutely no beard, and we'd go around and he would sing. And about 6 years ago, he passed away.
Wow! And how old was he?
He was very old. He was 21 when he went into the camp, so he must have been
100 and something.
He must have been almost 100 years old. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Sort of makes you cry.
Yeah, yeah. So he. Sorry, but yes. So. There's a very interesting medrash on this pasuk. So the pasuk says, right? By the Mer Hashem Moshe Acharei Moshe Nei Bnei Aaron. The medrash says, "La David Hashem Ori V'Yishi Mimi Yiro." So the question obviously is like, what does tell me read on in Elul, right? And so the question is, what does Acharei Moshe Nei Bnei Aaron have to do with the David Hashem Ori V'Yishi? So he explains. So the medrash continues, right? Ube Mesorei Bazos Yavo Aaron. Me'is Hashem, Haisa Zos. There's another pasuk that says, right? Bezos, Yavo Aaron HaKadosh. You should go with this. Mm-hmm. We said we were a little confused what this was. Par ben Makar is a little funny. That's not bringing the animals in. And Be'is Hashem, Haisa Zos. Right? We say that in Halal. Right? Mm-hmm. From Hashem came this. But there's also another pasuk. Bezos, Ani Boteach. Right? With Hashem, I have trust. Okay? So, what's the pshat here? So he said, that full pasuk is it's in Tehillim, that same parak, Tehillim Chav Zayin, Im Takum Alei Milchama Bezos Adi Boteach. If I come to war, in this I have trust. Fine. So what's the pshat here? What does that mean? Why do you explain this in Midrashim? So he explains that none of the view died, right? It was probably this horrifying experience for Aaron HaKohen. And Aaron now is like, where's the last place Aaron HaKohen wants to go?
Into the
Kodesh Kadosh. He doesn't want to go there. Probably doesn't want to go there ever again, ever in his whole life, right? Yet, right afterwards, right, sometime acharei Moshe Nei Bnei Aaron, not very long time, sometime after, right, he is given a command. What are the rules for going into the Kodesh Kadosh? Right, and he's thinking to himself, like, how's that going to happen? How am I going to do this? So says the Kalev HaRebbe, there's another, right, pasuk in Tehillim, which we just mentioned before, in the Halel, Me'is Hashem, Haisazos. And that the as Aaron's being told to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he can't even imagine doing that. Right? Hashem tells him, Bezos Yavo Aaron Ela Kodesh. With this, what's this? This recognition of, and it's complicated, Me'is Hashem, Haisazos. That Hashem did this, and at the same time, Hashem is with you. Very complicated, difficult thing to think, right? And to internalize. And people ask this question all the time when terrible things happen to them. Like, I don't understand. Like, Hashem did this to me. And now I'm supposed to like turn to Hashem to help me. Mm-hmm. It's a very complicated thing, right? You say it by like we say it in theory. Well, Hashem brought us to Mitzrayim, and then we thank Him for taking us out. Okay, so we answered that question. We need to go to Mitzrayim, but that's a much easier intellectual question than but Hashem did this to me. Mm-hmm. How am I supposed to now turn to Him in that moment? And the response, not an answer, but the argument, right, is bizos yavor alon like el kodesh, that with that knowledge, and the knowledge that needs to be understood and internalized for every person in their own way, is if we can recognize that even with the terrible, horrible thing that Hashem did or allowed to happen, I won't explain it, right? That still, bezos ani botech, Hashem is still with you as you're trying to figure that part out. And so, argues the Kalev Rebbe, and again, a vort that the Kalev Rebbe can say, because, right? I find these ideas explained by people like this who've had the experience that they've had is so much more powerful, right? Mm-hmm. You know, a person who says, I heard Shema Yisrael in that moment and I can walk out and say Shema Yisrael, still teach other people to say Shema Yisrael with all the things that happened to him and that he had experienced, can still have that emunah. So his argument is, that's the message that Hashem is giving to Aaron. Like, this is a horrifying experience that you had. And I'm not going to explain it to you exactly why it happened. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you that I'm going to still be with you as you walk back in. And as you go back in, bezos, yavo Aaron al-Kodesh, right? Mm-hmm. Know that I'm holding your hand and you walk back in, as painful and difficult as that's going to be, because you have to go back in, because we need you to go back in. Because Am Yisrael needs to go back in, even with the pain and difficulty that you've experienced. And that becomes the reason, right, for this to be like the, you kind of now take the bookend in a certain sense, right? That, V'yadaber Hashem Moshe, acharei Moshe b'nei Aaron. On the one hand, it's a message to Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't think you can overstep. Not a message that Aaron needs. But Aaron needs the other side. Bezos, Yavol Aaron HaKodesh. He needs the reminder, but what Aaron needs is the hug. Right, that I'm asking you to go back in, but when you go back in, take me with you. Know that I'm going to be there waiting when you walk in. And yes, I can't. You're not going to explain. You're not going to understand now why I did what I did. But know that I haven't relinquished you now. Mm-hmm. I'm still there holding your hand as you walk back in. So in that sense, you know, it actually makes a lot of sense that this story has to start with. It has to be introduced with Acharei Mos, and it's told a little differently. The Karva Sanuf Nei Hashem, because it's not a message. It's a message to Moshe, maybe. Right. The Karva, the Kirva, in a sense. Right, Vayamusu, that extra reminder of what had happened there for Moshe to be reminded of that, and also with lessons of how to go back in, because that's what Aaron needs to hear. And at the same time, for all the Aarons in the future need to know these stories, because they need to have that sense, and all of us need it, of what that place is and what it represents and what it will represent again. Because by having that recognition and appreciation for what it is, so then we treat it in the way that it's supposed to be treated.
Yeah, it makes me think of one of the notes that Talia Whiteson was ending her speech on Saturday, how like
Talia Whiteson, her husband Amichai was killed in Kerem Shalom on October 7th. She came to speak in the shul on Shabbos about her experience. He gave up his life.
And she said that like how she kind of like helped her kids process, and what they would say out loud is like how Amichai used to say, like, if something bad happens, like, not to let it, you know, change your faith. Like, we don't know the reason Hashem does things, and just because something bad happened doesn't mean the world isn't still good. That, like, incredible piece that she had, and she was able to, like, recall things that he'd said. Like, she said a story how one time his wallet got stolen, and he came back and he told the family the wallet was stolen, but this doesn't mean that everyone's a thief, right? Like, one person stole, like, the world isn't horrible, it's not a bad place, one person stole my wallet, but, like, not everyone's a thief, it's okay. And, like you were just saying, if the Kalva Rebbe could say, like, people like that saying that,
it really people like that say things like this, yes.
So, like, for her to be able to quote the words of her
husband
who was killed by terrorists on October 7th, and she now has to raise these five kids on her own, like, if she can have that faith of, like, I don't know why this happened, but, like, Hashem's still with us and the world is still a good place, like,
it's very powerful. Have that too. Yes, absolutely. I have nothing to say to that. You're right. You're right. Agree.